One of the arts that we practice in meditation is the art of not waiting. It's not the not waiting of impatience, it's the not waiting for a better moment. And this is what we're asked to do again and again. Every time we begin again, we're asked to take that radical step that says, okay, I'm not going to wait for a better moment. And when we come to this moment, sometimes we find, but surely this can't be the moment I'm supposed to pay attention to. This one's too boring. This one's not interesting enough. Surely there must be some better moment somewhere in the future, and then I'll start paying attention. We're asked very much to let go of that view of postponing our awakening, of putting out our awakening at some point in the future when I get things right. You know, when I get the conditions right, at the right retreat, maybe the next retreat, you know, there'll be the right moment when I can start paying attention. Maybe later on today, maybe the next breath, maybe the next walking. And we're constantly postponing the art of coming back. So remembering that we don't need to wait for another moment, that there's actually no better moment than this one to pay attention to, precisely because there is no other moment than this one that we find ourselves awake in. The other ones are only in the imagination. They don't actually exist, those moments in the future, because all we ever find ourselves in is this moment. So not needing to look for a better one. So again, using the breath as the primary place to pay attention. And if it's not very interesting in some moments, that's okay. Coming back again and again, part of the training is the training in something that's quite neutral. The breath isn't terribly exciting and it's not terribly awful. But that training in coming back to something quite quiet, something quite neutral, is reinforcing that capacity to be able to come back to anything at all. And not just the things that pull our attention, not just the things that demand our attention, but to be able to locate our attention where it's wise. So breath as primary place to pay attention. When the body calls through pain or discomfort, unpleasant sensation, let your attention go there. Touch that place gently with your attention. Explore it in terms of its sensations. And if it's possible to leave it, then come back to the breath. At times, if the pain is very loud, then let the attention go there and be present with the pain, without freezing, fleeing, fighting, just coming a little bit closer. Today we'll also open our attention to include the realm of what we call the emotional life. And again, we use the word emotion. But what is it really? What is it really when we come and look a bit closer? There seems to be a composition of thoughts, of feelings in the body, body sensations, sometimes a story, and then our response to that, our reaction to that, whether we like it or not, whether we want it to stay or go. So one practice with the practice of the things that arise in the heart-mind, which we call emotions. Part of the practice is, can we see the emotion just as that, without having to take it on as meaning something at all, as meaning anything about me? Rather than saying, using the language, very quickly we feel this thing arise, and we say, oh, I'm angry, I'm bored, I'm happy, I'm joyful, I'm in love, I'm sad, I'm miserable. We put I very quickly to it, and when we do that, we start to develop another layer of suffering for ourselves. If we can see it just as it is, this means seeing it, clearly allowing it, and saying, ah, there's anger. Ah, there's boredom. Ah, there's joy. Ah, there's love. Whichever it might be in consciousness at that moment. So it's not ignoring it or fighting it, but it's gently acknowledging that it is present in that moment. Again, with bodily life or emotional life, it's not actually so different. Whether we have the painful, difficult thing in the body or in the heart, mind, it's not so different. If the conditioned way that we respond to it, there will be no possibility in that. The conditioned way we respond to it is very much based on the feeling quality. So not the feeling quality in terms of the emotion, but the feeling quality which, in the tradition of these instructions given by the Buddha, he talks about feeling in terms of three things. He says the feelings that come, they're really only one of three things. They're either pleasant, or they're unpleasant, or they're neutral, which is neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And sometimes the ego can react, God, there's more to it than that, surely. But actually, if we look very closely, the thing that arises in the body, in the heart, it's either one of those three things. So we're asked as we come close to the physical or the emotional, what is it? Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant, or is it neutral? As we come close in this way, we give ourselves a sense of possibility of not being bound by it, of not being bound and caught. So what that means is, if we don't see if it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, we're bound in particular directions. If it's pleasant, what happens? We have a pleasant experience arise in the heart, joy for a moment, appreciation, and it's pleasant, we don't notice that, we just say, ah, how can I keep this? How can I make this continue? How can I make the next sitting like this? And then we're bound. If it's unpleasant, the response very much, without seeing that it's unpleasant, we say, how can I get rid of this? How can I make it go away? This is something wrong with this. We say there's something wrong, and then we're bound, because we're living in fear of that thing coming back. And we give it some kind of authority. We're living in fear of that thing coming back. So that might be, you know, the contact might be a thought in the mind. You wake up in the morning, and the first thought might be, oh God, there's a standing meditation at 11:45. How am I going to cope with that? In that moment, it's okay that thought's arisen, but in that moment, it's very important to come in close and see what's happening in this moment. Because if we don't see it very clearly, we may live from 5 o'clock in the morning till 11:45 with a kind of dread of something that isn't present in that moment. We may be living with that fear of something that's not present. If we come closer, what we start to see in its nature is that 5 o'clock in the morning, dread. It's arising in this moment. It doesn't say anything about 11:45. It has to say with how we're carrying an impression from the past and what we're projecting into the future. And there's no freedom there. So the freedom can come when we can come and say, oh, dread. Dread's arising right now. What's that? Because these things, while the story tells us that they look very continuous, they go from past to present to future, if we come close, they're only ever arising in this moment. And the joy or the beauty of the practice is that's all we're ever asked to do. We're not asked to plan for 11:45, because this would be an impossible task. We're not asked to plan that it will be okay then. How can I make it okay at 11:45? We're only asked to be present in the moment that the dread arises, whether it's at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock. And then there's a possibility of seeing it in a new way. So it's not demanding that the dread goes, it's actually coming in. And what that might mean is the same with the pain. Where do I experience dread? Is it mostly in thoughts? Is there some sense in the body? Very often, if we notice an obsessive pattern of thinking, the same one going round and round, there'll be some correlation in the body. Come into the body and notice where that is. Where's dread? Is it in the heart? Is it in the stomach? Is it in the throat? Is there just this kind of feeling in the whole body? And explore it in that moment in terms of its sensations. So, locating it. Oh, there's some sort of pain or discomfort here. Can I just make space for that? Come very gently to the edge of that with my attention. Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it pressure? Is it tight? Is it tingling? Is it throbbing? And the mind might say, I've got to get rid of it. I've got to get rid of it. Okay, that's the old response. That's all right. There's the old response. Come in a little bit closer. Is there a different way of being with this right now? If it feels overwhelming, like it feels too much, then let your attention just move away from that place. That's all right. But not through fear, but through a wisdom that says, okay, I'll come back. I'll come back when I feel steady, collected, and I'll just touch very gently what this is. So come to the edge, feel the boundary. Is there a sense of boundary around this feeling, whatever it is? And come and make space for those sensations, whether they want to expand or contract or stay the same. Can we have a friendlier relationship with this aspect? With this aspect, then there's a possibility of it not saying, I am in dread, which has a whole path of continuity forever. Because when we feel like we're in it, it feels like it will last forever. Oh, it's dread right now. What is that? We come close. So there's the pleasant and the unpleasant. With the neutral training, the breath is very often neutral. Many, many moments in the day will be quite neutral. These are the ones that we're also very interested in, because these are the ones where the thoughts of boredom, I am bored, or gosh, there must be a better moment than this one, it's too neutral. We're really interested to pay attention there, because the conditioned response is, if we don't notice the neutral moments, we just miss them. We just miss them, we dismiss them as, you know, they're not high or low, so I can live without them. And then not only do we miss a whole part of our life and all the possibility that's there in the neutral, because neutral is only relative, it's not really neutral. It's a relative measurement. We miss that whole thing, but also we start to space out, waiting for something better and spacing out, kind of disconnecting with ourselves. So whatever it is in this moment, even if it's the thing that you think I absolutely can't be with, the emotion or mind state that's the most taboo, you know, disconnection, I don't know what it might be, even sometimes the pleasant ones, even sometimes the joy and appreciation, sometimes we can't let that in either, because it just, there's not the space for it. So if we make ourselves open to whatever is arising, not to be swamped or drowned or anything like that, but to take an interest, to take a gentle interest. So it's not to make these a project, not to make these emotional things a project for the day. If we can touch them gently, acknowledge them and come back to the breath, this is fine. If we need to spend a little bit longer just exploring it gently, this is also fine. It's present, it's not abstract, it's very present. You know, fear is very present. It's not a mistake in the meditation. We can be with that. And then finally, just in how we pay attention. How we pay attention to these things that arise. Physical pain, emotional pain, or even the breath. Even the breath. How do we pay attention? If in our coming to come a little bit closer, if we've got any agenda. So she says if I pay attention, it might make it easier. If we come with that agenda, we're already imposing ourselves on the situation. We just have to come very innocently, without the knowledge of, look, I've seen this the whole of my life, this isn't going to be any different now. If we come already with this jaded, cynical mind, then what we need to notice in that mind, in that moment is, oh, cynical, huh. What's cynical like? I'm cynical right now, okay? Just acknowledging that. So we need to be innocent in a way, or we endeavor to be, meet it openly this moment, whichever it might be. And nothing, none of the experiences that you have are outside of what is okay. any of the experiences that you have arising in the heart and mind, each one of them has a place. Each one of them has its season, its dance, and we just have to let it come and let it dance through in that moment. So not to put anything outside of your heart. None of them are wrong in that way. But in our endeavor to embrace acceptance, if what we notice is non-acceptance, that's okay too. If what we notice is, I'm fighting, God, I'm fighting here, that's okay too, notice that. We're not trying to be perfect at all. We're trying to understand this moment, because then there's possibility. So let's sit together for this period. Again, if there's too many instructions, if we were only ever to come back to the breath again and again and again, as many times as it takes, this is enough. This is enough, that everything that we need to learn can also be there in the breath if we pay attention. So not thinking, oh gosh, I've got to do body and emotions, and that's, just leave those aside. If we can embrace the simplicity of this moment, we will be kind of guided as to what to pay attention to. So check in with the posture, with the body. And checking in with your intention can be very useful at the beginning, to remind ourselves of our intention, especially in the middle of a retreat like this, when we might have forgotten what we do, why we're here. You know, just remind ourselves of our intention, and the intention to not wait for a better moment to start paying attention. Letting go of breakfast, the walking, and just checking in with the body through the head, the eyes, the nose, the jaw, the throat, the chest, that there's space in the chest, and the belly, and the legs, and let your weight come to rest on the cushion or the chair. Let the weight settle down and arrive in this moment. And bringing your attention just in this moment to receive the in-breath and to be present as the out-breath passes away. We only ever asked to be present with this breath, not all the breaths for the rest of the sitting. It's only ever this one.